You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenz with the program to put some money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. It's Friday, which means we've got a ton of stuff to break down on the program today. Steve Merrill, bats leadoff. We'll talk some NBA basketball. We'll talk some Major League Baseball. We'll talk some NASCAR. We'll give you picks for all of the above. Glenn Healy will step up and in and join us. Glenn Healy, Stanley Cup champion with the Rangers, longtime New York Islander, longtime Hockey Night in Canada, a hockey analyst. I think he was the head of the NHL PA as well. Glenn Healy joins us on the program to talk some pucks. Paul Bovey joins us to break down tonight's Boston Celtic Washington Wizard tilt. These two teams have played each other 9 times now this year, including the 5 in the playoffs, and the home team has won every game. The home team is 9-0. And earlier in the week, you know, we saw, like, with the Spurs and the Rockets, they were going back and forth with the home team winning all the time. And I jumped on the Houston Rockets to break that trend. They didn't win the game, but they covered the point spread. Fortunately, I jumped on the San Antonio Spurs last night. And you guys know, it's not often I give you a big money line underdog to win outright, but I did it last night. We knew the Houston Rockets were done. And I'm just surprised that people are surprised right now. That's who the Houston Rockets are. Like Dennis Green said, we are who they thought they are. You know, like they are who we thought they were, man. That's the Houston Rockets. You know, I know these guys, all right? You know the episode of The Simpsons when little Ralph Wiggum goes to see Krusty the Clown with Lisa? And Lisa's like, I'm only here because I got a free ticket. And she rips the heart out. And then you just see him like, ooh. That was the Houston Rockets out of the other night. The Rockets were done, all right? They were toast then, I knew it. We cashed a ticket. It was even better that Kawhi Leonard was out last night because we got plus 330. All right, so like I said, we have a ton of stuff to get to. We have NHL hockey on the board this evening. No rest for the wicked. The Ducks are right back at it against the Nashville Predators. Big NBA game this evening. We've got NASCAR. We've got the return of the UFC. We did our UFC earlier in the week on Morenci Unfiltered. The video is up on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page. We break down every fight with Lou from Gamblu.com on tonight's radio show, Red Heat and Rage, 10 o'clock Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll send it to Las Vegas, where the Raging Redhead is holed up at the El Cortez. And it's going to be day 6. Today's day 6 for Cam. So, you know, Vegas takes its toll after 2 days, okay? Vegas takes its toll. Hey, listen, if Cameron 2 Drew went to Vegas, he'd be under the covers. Oh, my God, I feel sick after like 3 hours. It would wipe him out like first night. He'd get off the plane Friday night, he'd be done. 2 a.m. Vegas time, he's finished. Oh, you know, the time zone's really catching up to me. Cam's 6 days in right now, all right? Cam is 6 days in. Hopefully he keeps the language a little cleaner than he did the other night. All right, so I look forward to sending it to Vegas tonight, but we'll give you some more UFC picks this evening. George St. Pierre and Bisping is off. Good. Good. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Nobody. George St. Pierre comes back. Dude, if you announce your comeback, it doesn't mean, hey, I will be coming back, but I will be coming back in 18 months from now. I have many gymnastic classes to take. Come on, man. You know, are you a fighter or what? Like Bisping said, dude, it takes 8 weeks to get ready for a fight. Could do it less, but it takes 8 weeks. Generally, it's 8 weeks. If a guy hasn't fought in a while, give me 12 weeks, I'll be good. You know, George St. Pierre's already in shape, October, whatever. He's going to end up fighting Anderson Silva and whatever. Everybody wins in the end, right? All right, everybody wins in the end. So we might be in the middle of the NBA and the NHL playoffs right now, but I feel it right now. It's like Dave Chappelle. Instead of crack, man, we're waiting for some football. We had the NFL draft. People are starting to talk about the upcoming fantasy season, fantasy rankings. And in fact, mini camps are going down as we speak. We have mini camps this weekend. So football fever is here, which means it was time for the people over at EA Sports is in the game to step up and in and announce who's going to be on the cover of an NFL 18. Well, NFL 18, they're going with the greatest of all time edition, supposedly. So the greatest of all time, well, yeah. Well, Tom Brady. So listen, they had a lot of angles they could have went with. And me personally, if I'm EA Sports, I'm not putting Tom Brady on the cover. Yeah, whatever. Tom Brady's been around for a while. Yeah, I'd put Dak Prescott on or Elliott. Yeah, I'd freshen it up a little bit. But they put Tom Brady on the cover, and as a Buffalo Bill fan, I say, thank God. You know, thank you. Good. I say good. Good luck with that. So I guess, Tom Brady, he's aware of the curse. Tom Brady actually quotes saying, there is no curse, basically. He doesn't believe in a curse. Brady says, I don't believe in curses. I'm ready for the challenge. The curse doesn't stand a chance. And I guess he then actually walked under a ladder and smashed a mirror, but I do that all the time, and I got great luck, yeah. So Tom Brady, not only not worried about the curse, he's mocking the curse. Maybe you should ask your teammate Rob Gronkowski how it worked out for him last year being on the cover. Not very well, right? The dude spent more time on the sidelines than he did on the field. He finished the season with 25 freaking catches, man, right? Didn't end very well for Rob Gronkowski. The curse isn't real. The curse isn't real. Now we know why the Patriots didn't trade Garoppolo. And I've been wondering about this. I'm like, what the hell are these guys doing? You know, Brady's going to be around forever still. You guys are going to be paying Garoppolo big money eventually. What's going on here? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. They know that Brady's going to be on the cover of Madden, and they know. They're like, oh, yeah. He's going to get hurt. Yeah, he's going to get hurt. He's already old as it is. Now he's just tempting freaking fate. Now, isn't he? Now, I've been saying for years, you guys got to stop suspending Brady. Stop poking the bear, so to speak. Stop poking the bear, you know? Stop upsetting the Patriots. Because most teams that win all the time, they lose a little bit of their hunger. You know, the Patriots don't because we're always pissing them off over and over. But for those of you right now that are saying, the curse isn't real, let's go back in that time a little bit right now. All right, Michael Vick. Yeah, Michael Vick was on the cover. Michael Vick broke his fibula in the preseason, right? He didn't even get a chance to get cursed in a regular season. He broke his fibula in the preseason. Our boy Rob Gronkowski, well, he was on the cover last year, but, you know, Rob Gronkowski gets hurt all the time. So is it really the Madden curse, or is it really just Rob Gronkowski? The thing with Rob Gronkowski, you know, everyone, like, jokes about Keith Richards. Keith Richards has, like, the blood of a 12-year-old in his veins. Like, honestly, if Rob Gronkowski donated blood, you'd get, like, Bud Light instead of blood. Like, I'd like to take a syringe and just, like, extract fluid out of Gronkowski's arm. I guarantee you it's beer. All right, Donovan McNabb. How'd it work out for Donovan McNabb? Donovan McNabb was once on the cover, and he had the worst season of his career. He got injured in, like, week 9, didn't play another game. Like, it was the worst year of his career. And Donovan McNabb was the big Campbell's Soup guy before. Campbell's Soup used to be a monster curse as well. Peyton Hillis, he was on the cover. He had a horrible year. He got hurt, but wait. Peyton Hillis had a lot of horrible years, and he got hurt a lot as well. How the hell did that guy ever run for over 1,000 yards? You get my point. This might be the only way to stop the New England Patriots. But even if Brady gets hurt because of the Madden curse, Garoppolo's going to win games for them. So ultimately, it is what it is. Good luck trying to defy the curse. My only question is, can you deflate the footballs in NFL 18? Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. Nice to be back in Studio A on this Friday afternoon. Earlier in the week, of course, we had a power surge. I turned blue, literally and figuratively, the definition of blue balls. I was Blue Man Group. Mark Lawrence looked like Iceman Schwarzenegger. People are telling me I look like some dude. Yondu? Either way, it's been quite the week. Yesterday, we were in the bunker in the podcast booth. Good times, great show yesterday. So now we're back in Studio A. We send it to Virginia, where Steve Merrill joins us in the dark, because Steve Merrill has a power failure right now. What's going on, Steve?
Yeah, we got some heavy storms here. Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's that time of year. This is why baseball is such a difficult sport to handicap, because you got to check the weather, unlike other sports.
It's probably Putin's fault. Everything else is, right? Blame Russia. Weather's bad in Virginia, it's Russia's fault.
Well, I mean, there is a chance the world's coming to an end, so I think the heavy floods right before that is one of the signs, if I'm not mistaken. Although the Mayans got it wrong, so who knows?
I got to give you credit, though, Steve. Power failure can't stop Merrill. He's the Cal Ripken of handicapping. So,
man, I got the battery backups for the laptop and the computer, so all the handicapping still gets done, but we just don't have the video set up and the phone lines and everything. But we got cell phones. We're good to go.
All right. So, the Houston Rockets were good to go last night. And, you know, Steve, I took the Spurs on the money line, and I didn't back off when I found out Kawhi Leonard was out. In fact, I liked it even more. I was like, good, we're getting more value. Went from 230 to plus 330. Spread went up all the way to 9, 9.5, depending on your book. And you could tell really early, the Rockets weren't into it. The building was empty early. They never got into any rhythm, and San Antonio just punched them in the mouth wire to wire.
Yeah, I mean, the line was 6.5 during the day when he was listed as questionable. And then I actually saw around 5 o'clock Eastern, about 3 hours before game time, he actually went up to probable at some of the services, you know, that put out the injury reports. Yet the line stayed 6.5, and then all of a sudden it started climbing, like you said, to 7.5, went even higher, 8.5, 9, when it was known he wasn't going to play. I stayed off the game. The line was ridiculously high, so I definitely agree with you there was value there. But what concerned me wasn't that Leonard was out, it was that also Tony Parker was out. And the Spurs won without Parker, but to have to win without two key guys on the road in a game that wasn't a must-win situation, I got a little concerned, so I stayed off the game. Parker and Leonard were the top two scorers per game for the playoffs for the Spurs. So it's really remarkable what they did. But I think the big story has to be James Harden. You know, you and I have talked about it many times about how overrated he is. He's all offense. He's no defense. And when that's the case, you're inconsistent. And he was unbelievably inconsistent last night. But what's really amazing is he didn't take a shot attempt until halfway through the second quarter. So it's pretty hard to justify that. It's basically like he disappeared on purpose.
It is very baffling to see. You know, he's almost like a 9-year-old kid on vacation with his family, and he's pouting. Well, you know, for the whole trip, and the rest of the family is trying to have fun. It's like there were times he didn't get back on defense at all. He didn't make an effort. Like he just stood there, like he totally 1,000% tapped out. And then he had the nerve to start yelling at his teammates. He completely melted down. He had a day to regain his composure after the night in San Antonio. You're without Kawhi Leonard. And it wasn't just him, D'Antoni. It was pathetic. They absolutely rolled over, Steve. But with all that being stated, the Spurs feel pretty good about themselves. But things get a little tougher for them right now, Steve. So.
Right, and defense wins championships. And we've said this all along about Harden and the Houston Rockets in general. They're all offense. They're no defense. Now, people might think that the Golden State Warriors are all offense. They are, but they're also all defense. They play at a very fast pace. But when you look at, you know, per possession, points per possession, each of the last few seasons, they've been one of the best defenses in the league. So this isn't like the Houston Rockets. It'll be a high-scoring, you know, fast-paced series. But Golden State can play defense when they need to. Cleveland's defense has been suspect as well this year. They've just been outscoring everybody like Houston was doing. So I really think Golden State's the team to beat. But, you know, the Spurs have a chance. I just think without Tony Parker, it's going to end up catching up to them, because if Leonard isn't fully healthy, they're already shorthanded to start with. I think Golden State wins this, and they win the whole thing, because they're going to be facing a Cleveland team that's kind of like Houston, is more offense than defense.
The Warriors are minus 1,200 series favorites against the Spurs. I'd be surprised if the Spurs win more than one game. They're going to be in an extremely difficult situation. And as you stated, the Warriors, they're a vicious defensive team right now. Draymond Green's in your face all game long. Kevin Durant is way overrated defensively. The guy's blocking shots like crazy this year. They're very aggressive defensively, and then they transition you, and then they push the tempo on offense, and it's a lethal combination that no one can contain. The Spurs are going to get exposed. So what about tonight? Celtics and Wizards. You know, I wanted to be cute and say, you know, something's got to give eventually. We talk right about the zigzag, Steve. This one's been the definition of the zigzag, buddy. But not game by game, but, you know, home road. And the home team's freaking dominated. They've won every game. They've covered every game. And then you compound that by the fact that they played nine times now, regular season included, and the home team's won every time.
Yeah, and I think the home team is now 10-1 in all the Wizards playoff games this year. Wizards, I know, are 1-5 on the road. I believe they're 5-0 at home now. So the home-road dichotomy, and we talked about it in the Atlanta Wizards series. You know, we talked about how both Washington and Atlanta historically really dictate a lot of home wins and road losses, and the Wizards have lived up to that so far in the playoffs. Celtics not as much so until this series. Keep in mind, they lost games 1 and 2 against Chicago and then won the two on the road. So Boston is definitely capable of winning this game on the road tonight. I had a strong best bet on the Celtics in Game 5. I also had them in Game 4. It was looking okay until the Wizards went on a 26-0 run in the third quarter. So who knows what to make of this game tonight. I think, you know, the situation favors Washington at home, but the line is priced that way. And you still have a number one seed here in the Celtics. Now, granted, they're the weakest number one seed in 30 years. They're the least efficient number one seed in the past 30 years in the playoffs. But it's still a number one seed getting a good handful of points in a game which they could close out the series.
Yeah, we should note the Wizards are now 35-11 straight up at home this year. It's a tricky game. I'm leaning with the Wizards. But it's hard not to bet the over of this contest. Four of the five games in the series have gone over. And seven of the nine that they played this year have gone over the number. Last night, I bet the under in the Houston Astros and the New York Yankees, and I cashed that ticket. I also cashed a ticket with the Houston Astros with Dallas Keuchel on the hill. Astros are now 9-2 in their last 11 games. Lance McCullers goes for the Astros tonight. He's been rock solid. He's a KO machine. Jordan Montgomery, rookie, goes for the Bombers. Montgomery's been pretty good, actually, for a rookie. He gets into trouble, but he gets out of trouble. Batters are just 3-for-29 with runners in scoring position against him. Two elite baseball teams going head-to-head, Steve. Four games set. Astros take game one. I'm leaning Astros again tonight.
Well, yeah, Houston was number one in my power ratings for several weeks, and I bumped them to the Nationals in the number one spot the last couple weeks, but Houston's still a very good team. Yankees have moved all the way up to number two this week for me in my rankings. They went 20-5 after a 1-4 start. I think Houston probably in a decent spot here. Keep in mind, last Sunday night, the Cubs and Yankees played that 18-inning, the longest interleague game ever, as you know. Cubs are in a terrible spot. They had to go to Colorado and play in the altitude. They actually got a rain out on Monday, but they still really came in flat. Yankees actually won the next day in Cincinnati, but I think it starts catching up to both Chicago and New York in the near future here, and I think Houston is somewhat of a play-on team right now.
Keuchel's been great, so has Dylan Bundy. I bet on him last night. It was rained out. He's on the bump tonight against the Royals. Royals have been terrible, but they've taken 3 of 4. Baltimore's a good team, and I'll tell you, Steve, before the year started, I gave people 3 baseball futures, win totals. You know what teams I gave them? The Colorado Rockies, the Baltimore Orioles, and the St. Louis Cardinals. Not bad.
Well, I thought maybe you gave them the Royals under, because that'd be looking pretty good as well. They've been dead last in my power ratings for several weeks now. You know, on paper, they're not the worst team in baseball, but they have definitely been the biggest underachiever, and that's why I have them dead last, and they've been one of the biggest money burners as well. The problem is their offense. When I was putting the rankings together Sunday night this past week, I was looking up, you know, the updated stats for the week. Look at their offensive numbers, Gabe, compared to the rest of the league. They rank dead last by far in almost every major statistical category. Batting average, on base, slugging, by almost 10 to 15 points behind the 29th ranked team in the Major League Baseball. And that's with the designated hitter in the lineup. So this offense is really bad. They broke out a little bit against Tampa Bay earlier this week, but I need to see a lot more before I start playing on them. You know, they probably turned the corner at some point this season. But right now, the odds makers have not caught up to how bad their offense is.
All right, we got to pick up the pace because I want to get to some NASCAR, but I want to note the St. Louis Cardinals are on a 6-0 run right now. The Cubs have lost 5 of 6. Eddie Butler on the hill for the Cubs. Mike Leake, one of the hottest pitchers in the National League, only giving up one home run this year, goes for the Cards. Hard not to like the Cards here. Other quick baseball betting trends. The Atlanta Braves are 2-8 in their last 10 games there in Florida tonight. And the Phillies are 7-2 to the over in their last 9, Steve. You're always talking about the Nationals and that offense. Could be a lot of runs scored this weekend there.
Yeah, and the Phillies, momentum-wise, their offense has been very underrated this year. They've actually been one of the more underrated offenses in the league.
All right, NASCAR, let's go bowling. Kansas, go bowling 400. Back to the mile-and-a-half cookie cutters. Kyle Busch plus 800 won one of the races here last year. We've had 3 different winners on the mile-and-a-half track so far this year. Keselowski, Truex, and Jimmy. Of course, Kyle Larson's going to be in the mix at plus 550. I don't like the odds there. Harvick's a co-favorite, plus 550. I'm going to tell you, I'm looking at Joey Logano here. That's the one. He's the one that catches my eye, man. Two wins, five top five finishes in his last six trips, getting him at plus 700. I think Joey Logano's worth a look.
Yeah, the two best drivers on the circuit this year have been Keselowski and Logano and their teammates. So that's by far the team to beat, and you really have to look at them every week, I think. Kevin Harvick switched to Ford this year. He has not been quite as dominant as he was last year. I really think Logano is the new Kevin Harvick this season. Keselowski's numbers have not been great at Kansas, surprisingly, but obviously he's in contention as well. But I agree. I think Logano almost has to be on your card every week right now. Another guy last year, the best mile-and-a-half racer last year was Martin Truex. He's been a bit inconsistent this year as well. So we'll have to see what his practice times look like, but he's been very good on these types of tracks.
And, you know, I think a good fantasy play and maybe a little sprinkle on a long shot, plus 1,600, Matt Kenseth. Two-time winner here, average finish is 7.3 in his last 10 trips here. He loves this track.
Yeah, and the Gibbs guys in general, I think we're getting some value now with Kyle Busch and Kenseth and, you know, Denny Hamlin on some tracks. And Truex is basically the fifth Gibbs car, don't forget. They've underachieved this year. They've yet to win a race. I think there's probably some value now because of that.
You're right. Truex, the only guy to technically win, but he's not an official member. You're right. Joe Gibbs Racing.
That's a good point.
Yeah, Gibbs Racing, not an official win yet on the season. Hey, great stuff as always, Steve. We'll catch up on Monday. Check out Steve over at coversexperts.com. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us. All right, good stuff with Steve. And like I said, man, the Chicago Cubs, you know, the Cubs are overhyped right now. The Cardinals, I'm surprised to see the Cardinals minus 135 favorites tonight, but Mike Leake on the hill for the Cardinals tonight. I think the Cardinals are worth a look. They're 6-0 in their last six baseball games. The Atlanta Braves are tanking right now, 2-8. And how about them Toronto Blue Jays, huh? How about them Blue Jays? Last night when the Blue Jays were down 2-0, I believe my boy, it was Matt in Guelph. I'm watching you, Matt. You send me a tweet, Morency. You say the Blue Jays suck and they're big money burners on game time decisions, but you post them every day. I don't post them every day. I've been posting them this week and have been winning. They're getting a little mojo going tonight, and I think the Jays can actually win again tonight. So we'll give you some baseball picks later. We'll take a quick break. We got Glenn Healy coming up next. We're going to talk some hockey. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morency. We've got Paul Bovey on the on-deck circle right now. Hopefully we got Skype. We can see Paul's eyebrows. Because remember, Paul got his eyebrows waxed or done or something. Something like that earlier in the week. And I don't want to break everybody's heart, but he texted me after and he said he was kidding. He really didn't get his eyebrows done. You know, The thing is, seems like something that Bovey actually would do. Seems like something Bovey would. Seems like something Camera 2 Drew would do, too. You ever gotten your eyebrows done, Drew?
No.
No, not yet? As you get older, though, my eyebrows, I'm not like quite like crazy old man eyebrow stuff, but every once in a while, I got a stray runaway sort of thing sticking out, you know? It's real dangerous, too. And I'm not even kidding when I say this, like, I don't have any tweezers or anything like that. So the other day, I actually considered burning it off. And I was like, that's not a good idea. So I was going to take a lighter to my eyebrow. So I got like a pair of big scissors. And I'm poking around my eye and stuff like that with these scissors, trying to cut off like this little eyebrow thing. And I swear, man, like I sort of like, and then I realized I'm going to jab myself in my eyeball with a pair of rusty scissors trying to get rid of a little piece of hair in my eyebrow here that I really don't care about. So there's my eyebrow story. All right, so yeah, Paul Bovey's on deck. Hopefully we can track down Glenn Healy. All right, so the NHL Final Four is set. And speaking of Cameron Tucci, he's all fired up, his Ducks. And I got to give him credit. And I got to give Cam credit, too. Cam hasn't panicked. Every time the Ducks, you know, no, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. But are they going to be fine? Now they're playing the Nashville Predators. Preds at Ducks. Ducks minus 115. Total's 5 here, yet it's minus 125 shaded to the over. And you look at the series that the Ducks are coming out of against the Oilers, and it was a high-scoring series. You know, goals, there were a lot of blowouts, there were a lot of, you know, explosive games and hat tricks and everything else in between. I don't see that, man. I'm not seeing that against the Nashville Predators. And, you know, Pekka Rinne is playing unreal hockey right now. And ironically enough, a player that underachieved through the regular season. Nobody saw this coming. I don't think the Preds expected him to be this good. But he's only given up 14 goals in the 10 playoff games that they played. Anybody that's watched the Nashville Predators in the playoffs has seen, it's like a yellow wall, man. Like, they score, they set up shop on you. They're not really playing a trap, but they're just sort of zoning you to death, and they're all fast. The Nashville Predators are an extremely fast team, and I know that the Edmonton Oilers are a skilled and fast team, but it's a different entity. The Edmonton Oilers don't pressure you from the back like the Nashville Predators do. The Predators, Johansson and Forsberg up front, they're causing a havoc. And then you got these defensemen. The defensemen are putting up big numbers, guys. The defensemen, 9 goals and 27 freaking assists in the playoffs. All right, the Nashville Predators. You know, they swept the Chicago Blackhawks. They made short work of the St. Louis Blues. We're not talking about a fluky Predators team here right now. And I look at the Ducks. And the Ducks' strength are their veterans, all right? Corey Perry and Getzlaff carried their ass, saved their ass. I look at goaltending. Who's the better? Who's this? Right now, who's the better goaltender? Nashville. I'd rather, you know, Gibson's not always at his finest, and sometimes Gibson might have had a few Gibsons. All right, so I got to give the advantage between the pipes to the Preds in this series. Now, speaking of between the pipes, we're now joined by a man who won a Stanley Cup, went to the Eastern Conference Finals with the New York Islanders between the pipes as well. Glenn Healy joins us. How you doing, Glenn?
I am happy to be on the show, and boy, exciting hockey talk when we get to the Final Four, isn't it?
Yeah, let me ask you, Glenn, at what point, because, you know, the Ducks' strength is their size and these veterans, and they're going to wear you out, and they're going to be on you, man, like a blanket. They're going to wear you out physically. But at what point does that backfire on them? Coming out of a very spirited 7-game set against the Oilers, you've been through these playoff grinds before. At what point does the body really start to feel fatigue? After two series, is it starting to kick in yet? You're losing weight. The beard's getting thick. Like, at what point do you start feeling dehydrated, Glenn?
Well, the game's changed since the 80s when I started, in the sense that the game would end and you'd have a cold libation in your hand, which when I finished in the 2000s, that didn't happen. You ended up usually with an IV needle in your arm and hydration. There were times when players would be getting hydrated through intravenous during periods in between. You know, your game goes long, it's hot in these buildings. You bring up a good point about fatigue, but the one thing about these athletes that is so different than any other generation of player, these guys take incredible care of themselves. So they are a finely tuned machine from the 11-year-olds all the way up till they turn pro. I would say this, the emotional part of the game is the one we're not thinking about, and that to me is where the Ducks have a little bit of an advantage in the sense, hey, they've been through a couple wars here. They've been through wars they shouldn't have won. They had games they were down by, and what happens, they end up winning the hockey game. So all of that put together makes you stronger, makes you feel invincible. And a series against the Oilers is one that they would look at and say it's a jumping point for the next round. So they're feeling pretty good about themselves. That was a hard series, and a violent, vicious crowd that they had to beat in Edmonton, and they championed it.
How about Pekka Rinne and the way he's playing right now, Glenn? It's amazing. He really didn't have a great regular season. Somewhat, somewhat disappointing. You know, they thought he was underachieving a little bit, but he's caught fire at the right time right now. What do you see about his game? Why is he so good right now? It's easy to, oh, he's in a zone, but why is he in such a zone?
Well, he's always been an underachiever. You look at where he was drafted, you know, the 9th round. He was a guy that, you know, was a backup to Nicklas Backstrom. The Predators and Paul Fenton had to send a scout over to videotape practice because he didn't play in games. Came over, and his strength is he's mentally strong, and a lot of times when you underachieve and you're not supposed to make it and you do make it, you feel that. He's athletic. He's big. And those are traits in goaltenders that you look almost to a T each team. If they see a big goalie who's athletic, you're drafting, no question. And that's what I see from him. But it's been a long time coming for this team to get to where they're at. They've always been sellers at the deadline. Their ownership has always said, get rid of salary. And the window is here now. They've drafted well. The team is in a great position. And they're going to be a tough test in this next round, for sure.
Who do you think wins the series?
Nashville.
You say, yeah, good. I got the Preds as well. Okay, let's, you know, because this segment's going to be a little short. I want it to be. But the Ottawa Senators, nobody gave them a chance against the Boston Bruins. I said, guys, they've won 10 of the last 11 games against the Bruins. They always beat the Bruins. They've got a chance against the Bruins. And then, the Rangers, it's going to be too tough. Can't beat the Rangers. And now we're hearing the same thing. Vegas has basically already put the Penguins in the cup. They're monster series favorites here. Nobody's giving the Senators a shot here, Glenn. You always tell it like it is. Do the Senators have a shot?
Of course they do. They've been there. You know, when it comes to the Battle of Ontario, all the talk's Toronto. You go do a game in Ottawa. You play a game in Ottawa. More than three quarters of the building's wearing Leaf sweaters.
Hey, Glenn, I got a tweet.
Dangerfield.
Glenn, I got a tweet yesterday. It was great. Somebody said the Senators will make the cup, and TSN will have a special on the Leafs the next day.
it is true. And could you imagine being on that team and seeing that and saying to yourself, "Give me some respect."
Yeah.
And even when they got to the second round, let's be honest, their own fans, they weren't selling the games out.
I know.
They are now, and they're going to be a handful for Pittsburgh. The Ottawa-Pittsburgh series, ever since I've covered it for a long, long time, Ottawa always gives Pittsburgh fits and starts, always. So this is not going to be a rollover. This is going to be a long series.
And as far as the Sens are concerned, I think outsiders, and even within Canada, they are sort of forgotten about. You know, they're the least talked about, sort of forgotten team. The Flames and the Oilers have that cute niche. Even people in the East don't dislike them. But the Senators don't really have anything to fall back on. But as you stated, it has to be a motivating factor for them. But I think outsiders think, well, they've overachieved. They're kind of lucky to be here. But they're just playing solid, freaking fundamental hockey. Carlson's as good as anybody on the ice on any team. And I just love, you got a hot player like Pageau right now. And then you got, talking about underachievers, hey, Bobby Burke might not like him, but I tell you, Boucher does. Bobby Ryan's playing good hockey right now.
Well, and here's the thing. When you get to the last four teams, usually you look up at the board at the end of the building and you look, and there's 10 games on a Saturday, 11 games. When you look up at the board tonight, you're it. There is no other game in town. And you are one step away from the Stanley Cup Final, where your name goes on the cup for a short period of time or forever, whichever one you pick. And so these athletes right now, it's been a long grind from World Cup. There's a lot of them played in that, to the regular season, who cares, to the first round, which is jump ball for a lot of teams, especially the way the Metro was, through to the second, and now you're in the third, one step away from the cup. Trust me, I've been there, played it, watched it from ice level. The speed picks up in round three, and it's off the charts in four.
I got goosebumps just hearing you talk about it. I was in the building when you played the Habs in 93. I was in the building. So we got to get out of here, Glenn, but I miss you on TV. You used to piss people off, but I loved it. You said what was on your mind. You didn't play favorites. And I know you work closely with the Players Association. I did a thing early yesterday about how the NFLPA is such a joke. Like, you're a smart guy, Glenn. You watch these guys, no guaranteed contracts, no rights. They just get run over. They need you. You're a pit bull. I think you'd represent the NFL players a hell of a lot better than they're getting repped.
Well, the great thing about when people get mad about what you say is they actually listen. There's a lot of guys that I don't listen, and that's why thank you very much, Toshiba, for putting a mute button on your converter.
Hey, Glenn, we got you a little bit late here. Let's do it again when we have more time. Thanks for the time, man.
Love to, pal. Cheers. Have a great one.
There's Glenn Healy with his great stuff with Glenn Healy. We take a quick break. Paul Bovey joins us next. G- Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. Paul Bovey will join us momentarily as we've got the Boston Celtics and the Washington Wizards on the board this evening. I'm going to be on the over of this basketball game. That's a given. I like the over better than I like the Washington Wizards, but it's hard to get in front of the trend of the home team winning all nine times that they played this year. That was the only frustrating thing about last night's game. And it was, I was really pissed. And it was, the game was looking so good, too. We had the San Antonio Spurs plus the 9.5 points. I think it was 9, but I got it right at tip-off. And I played it on the in-game before they tipped off type of deal. So anyways, I got 9.5 minus 115. We cashed that. We had the San Antonio Spurs on the money line, plus 330. And then, basically, even when it was like 41-18 or something like that, I knew the Rockets were going to tap out. So I was like, man, the Spurs are only minus 4.5 right now. I'll lay this. So I laid the Spurs. So I'm racking up the Spurs bets, and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to do really well because the money line is 330. I'm on the plus 9.5. I just laid minus 4.5 in game with the Spurs. I'm gonna kill it. But I bet the over. I bet the over of the game. And it's hard to get an over when the Houston Rockets score 8 freaking points, man, in the last 15 minutes or whatever the hell it was. They can go screw themselves. I'll see you in hell from heaven, James Harden. You know, it's funny. People are expecting me, Munchie, you gonna rip on Harden today? What am I gonna do, man? You gonna kick a man when he's down? This guy's not down. He's drunk. He's done. We have Paul Bovey. What's up, Paul?
Gabe, how you doing, buddy?
Always a pleasure, Paul. Always a pleasure. We spoke a couple of days ago, and I apologize. We had some power issues here in the building. But we spoke a couple of days ago. We said, how the hell do you not take the San Antonio Spurs with or without Kawhi Leonard? And I love the fact I waited until tip-off. I ended up getting plus 330. And I should be really happy about that, but I'm pissed off because I had a big play on the over that would have got there if Houston didn't quit.
Yeah, that was pretty pathetic. But, Gabe, you got plus 330. Why did you have to stick your toe in the water and grab the over with it? Should have been happy with the 330, but you know we have to get greedy, right? We have to get both ends.
Well, yeah. You know what? It was, you know, it's easy to say now, Paul. Like, we didn't know that the Spurs were going to go in there and rout them in the fashion that they did. But I caught on early that they were. You could tell the Rockets were not into it. But now the Spurs have to play the Golden State Warriors. They're actually 5-5 the last 10 times they played. So, you know, looking back, okay, over the last couple of years, they've won 5, they've lost 5 against each other. But let's be real. You know, how many games can the San Antonio Spurs win in this series, Paul?
Gabe, the number on the series is 13-1. Now, I'll give you a horse. Next race, you lay 20-1, it's over in a minute and a half, maybe 60 seconds. That's just ridiculous for a team, as you say, that has been competitive. Hell, they played 3 times this year, throw one game out because the starters sat for Golden State, but San Antonio beat them by, 29 points in the first game. We're beating them 57-54 at halftime of the second game that counted, and they had a bad second half, 14 turnovers in the last 3 quarters, and succumbed by 12 points. The number is absolutely ridiculous. They've beaten them up on the offensive glass as well, 37-18 in those 2 games. How do you lay 13-1, and how do you discount the San Antonio Spurs, the best coach team in basketball, and just count them out at this point?
You don't lay double digit points. We know that. Are you tempted to take the 11 in game 1?
Well, yeah. This is a solid team, and they have advantages on the court, as I just covered, specifically on the offensive glass. Tony Parker, by the way, yeah, he's out. Guess what? 4-9 in that first game, 0-4 from the field in the second game, combined 14-4 of 13. So Tony Parker was not a difference maker. In fact, he was a detractor from the team's performance. So I'm not even factoring that in.
What do you make of the Warriors being minus 260 favorites against the field And, you know, I get it. And, you know, all right. And you think San Antonio can be competitive against them. But the Cleveland Cavaliers getting zero respect right now from the betting public and the odds makers, getting plus 280, aren't they? The Cavaliers are plus 280. It's worth taking a shot and just putting in the drawer, man. I mean, come on.
Well, I think the revenge theory always plays into this, and people count revenge as one of their betting strategies as if it's going to make a difference. It's like they are saying, well, the Warriors are out for revenge, so that counts for something. And it's as though Cleveland's just going to lay down and let that happen. I don't think that will happen. The Cavaliers have been a solid team in the playoffs here, but defensively, still, the Warriors have distinct advantages, and people will look back at last year and say, if Draymond Green didn't get suspended, yada, 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 if Kyrie Irving doesn't hit that shot, yada, yada, yada. So, look, the Warriors should be favored. To that extent, no. LeBron is on a mission, clearly. They want to win just as badly as the Warriors do to prove a point.
I think it's worth it to take the plus 280. And then you can see, you can in-game series it. Last year, Mark Lawrence played it brilliantly, man. He was taking the plus sides and he loaded up on Cleveland and Golden State. He played both sides, ended up with plus money in his pocket. And I think we can do the same thing here. I think it's an abnormal number at plus 280 for a Cleveland Cavalier team. So the question is, Paul, who the Cleveland Cavaliers going to be playing? Are they going to play the Wizards or the Celtics? We've you know, I don't want to be like a broken record, but the home team is winning and covering all the time. Home team now 9-0 this year in this series, 5-0 in the playoff series. 4 of the 5 games have gone over the number. 7 of the 9 games have gone over the number on the season. The winner of the series, the winner has scored 116 points or more in every game except one, 121 or more in 4 of the 5. It's amazing. Like, you know, that's hard not to bet the over and the Wizards here.
Well, let me go on record by saying I was dead wrong last game. You were right. I thought the Wizards were going to prevail, and they just laid an egg. And it was basically, it came down to the 3-point line. They were 7-29. The Celtics were 16-33. You can't overcome a 27-point deficit.
Beal is much better at home, and so is Bogdanovich. I think they're both going to be hitting the 3-ball again tonight.
I do, too, and they out-rebounded him last game on the offensive glass, which does count. Gortat had 5. He was solid in the middle in that category. So, basically, this comes down to tonight. Will the Wizards hit their 3-point shots? Because they've not been great in the series. I pointed that out last time. They were running at about 31-32%. Now, if you factor in the 7-29, it's not real pretty. So they just have to hit their shots. The question is, will they take this to a 7th game? They've not won an elimination game where they've played at home since 1988. So I think that's likely to change tonight. I don't think the Celtics are a particularly good team. I said that last time, and I still don't think they're a particularly good team, but are the Wizards a good team? I think the Wizards, again, will give the Cavaliers fits, whereas Boston is just a rollover.
You know, you look at the Celtics, we talk about the 3-ball and the importance of the 3-ball. That was the difference with the Raptors and the Cavs. Yeah, it was last Friday, actually, that the Raptors were playing the Cavs. I remember it was 82-79 after 3 quarters. The Raptors were 1-for-17 for a 3-ball, and the Cavaliers had hit like 14 threes. And the Raptors were still in it. In today's NBA, you have to be able to hit the 3-ball. And I just don't see it. Boston, they were 16-for-33 the other night in Boston. They're not going to hit that percentage tonight on the road. Avery Bradley's not dropping 29 tonight. I think Washington gets this thing done.
Yeah, Bradley was 12-19, and then Horford was 8-9. And the issue with three-point shooting is it's one of those things in handicapping, it's kind of random, just like free throw shooting. You just don't know from night to night how a team is going to shoot from beyond the arc. And it's just one of those things that you can't handicap. So you assume an average performance, but when one team lights it up and the other team just craps out, well, the result is pretty predictable.
Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com. You can get his NBA selections. NFL around the corner, Paul, can't get here soon enough.
Yeah, it's about that time, and it's tough for me to get my head into it. I had to force myself to look at these draft picks, but I did. Because, you know, you need a period of unwinding, and you kind of get caught up in the frenzy of the NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs. I know you're a huge NHL guy because I see your tweets, and MMA guy. So you got a lot going on, and then you got to retool and get into the NFL, and I'm the same way. But we know we'll get into it at some point, and it's going to be a great season.
So I can't tell before I get you out of here. I'm looking for the eyebrows. Eyebrows are looking good there, Bovey.
No. Actually, I was putting you on with the eyebrows, but I was going to use a bikini wax, but I figured he'll never believe that. by the way, I was giving you the business at the beginning of the show about going in on the over. You know, it was a tough loss because even in the second half, I was tempted to take the Rockets team total over, figuring, you know, they're going to go down hard. They're going to go down with a fight. And then they score 30-some-odd points in the second half in an elimination game at home. How does that happen?
Now, they've got no fight. We've got to get out of here, Paul, but they've got no fight. I think Harden must have had a club appearance booked. Yeah, he didn't have time to compete. Always a pleasure. Thanks to Paul Bowman for joining us. Going to come back with our plays of the day. We've got a ton of selections for you, and I wanted to give you an Arena Football League pick as well, but there were no numbers posted as of this conversation we're having. Let's jump in. Give me the Washington Wizards. The home team has won 9 times that they played each other this year. Make it 10. Wizards win and cover. The game goes over the number. 4 of the 5 games have gone over the number. 7 of the 9 this year have gone over the number. NHL hockey. Give me the Nashville Predators, man. I like Pekka Rinne between the pipes tonight. Give me the Preds, and let's go under 5 at plus money, plus 105. Major League Baseball, I'm going to ride the wave of Houston Astros. Are red hot. McCullers has been great. Cleveland Indians, short price set tonight for the Tribe. Brewers against Matt Harvey. Matt Harvey's he's a stiff, man. He's going to get lit up tonight. Baltimore Orioles with Dylan Bundy. And I like the Blue Jays. Hey, they're hot right now, the Jays. And give me the St. Louis Cardinals. They're 6-0 in their last 6. May the winners be yours.